we never begin to sin, I don't think, with the intent of being bad and rebelling so much as we sin with the desire to choose for ourselves.
That was Mo Isom. She's a former All-American soccer player, popular blogger, and a national speaker, and she's sharing her story about misguided rule following when it comes to dating, and specifically sex. Anyway, this is Lisa Anderson. Welcome to this week's show. We're always excited to have you here at The Boundless Show. Later on, I actually get to answer a question from someone, one of you, who's fed up with the guys at her church. Anyway, apparently some of these guys are leading girls on and then just dropping them without an explanation. Should she start looking outside the church? Are better guys out there? I'm glad I get to answer that one. Okay, here we are for our roundtable, though, and we have got Jake, the social media guru. Hey, Jake.
Hey, what is up?
That's not my answer.
I think you're going to say, what it be.
Usually I say, what it be.
What it be?
Just a disclaimer on Jake. He is having to blow his nose because, for whatever reason, he's had just...
Guys, I was balling it up, you know, like in the warehouse.
Just crying? Yeah.
Like The Office.
Oh.
Yeah. No, like basketball. Okay. Hoops, yo.
Okay.
And well, I got some grime up in the nostrils.
Save the tissue because you may be in tears in a few minutes. We'll see. Catherine is here, our fabulous producer.
Hey. Catherine. Thanks for having
me. Also near the Kleenex.
Oh, yes. Just in case.
I just want to clarify, she was not playing basketball.
She was not.
No, I was not.
Don't give her the same credit that I get.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And then Matt is here from Axis.org. Mm-hmm. Woo, woo, woo. Not,
he also
not sitting as near the Kleenexes, looking somewhat overconfident about today's topic. So we're going to see how this plays out.
Yeah, and I'd like to note, I don't even like basketball.
Oh. Oh.
Wow. Okay.
That's fantastic.
Wow. Whatever.
More glory for me.
Okay. Well, today we're going to have a discussion about failed relationships, and I know that sounds a little bit euphemistic, so let's just say we're going to talk about being dumped, dumping others, just relationships that crash and burn, whether you know why or not. But because we always redeem what we're talking about, we're going to talk about what we learn from these experiences and how we've taken these lessons, hopefully we've learned some lessons, into future relationships or just into how we have built into ourselves as people, as Christians, as a result of what we've learned. So good times ahead here in our roundtable. All right.
That's one way of putting it.
Exactly. So I want to know, like, okay, quick tally in your head. You got to think of this quickly. How many times have you been dumped? How many times have you dumped someone? And or I feel like Jake's going to have some weird qualifier for this that, like, something has or hasn't happened. Okay, you start then.
My qualifier is that I've never dumped someone, nor have I been dumped.
Okay, but well, you know what?
That means so I'm out. See you guys.
That means that these relationships had no definition, which also is bad.
That's also bad. Yeah, the reason I'm here is because I just failed well before the relationship could have formed so that you could say something.
Just failing
somebody
at life.
Could have been dumped.
He clearly just slid into his marriage with no knowledge of what was going on.
It was like, are we doing this thing?
Yeah. Exactly.
Why are we at the church today, babe?
Okay, but you obviously had relationships or whatever they were end.
Yes.
Moved
No. I had relationships with girls that could have moved into dating had we done a DTR at some point, but they failed along the way. So if I count those, where I was never officially girlfriend or boyfriend, I would say I had two failed relationships in that regard.
Okay. All right, Catherine.
I was hoping you would not ask this question, Lisa.
What's your number?
I don't answering this. Okay, so I don't. This is
what's your qualifier?
Okay, I've never
sorry,
been.
Sorry, your job involves telling all your life secrets with no forewarning.
I've never been dumped, but I don't know why. I have broken up with people.
I feel like we're about to find out why.
I've never been dumped. They always just disappear.
I have ended, I think, 4 relationships.
Okay.
Oh, so you have all the power.
We will find out if
that's
legitimate.
See, that's why I don't like saying it. And
she's like, no, I just ripped her hearts out
at sleepovers,
because she's so amazing, who would dump her
or
whatever?
No, Lisa, at sleepovers, like, I never, because they're like, oh, yeah, he broke up with me, and they're crying, and I'm like, I'm sorry.
Oh, that must be really hard.
So I just feel bad, but yeah.
That's so cute that you've been dumped.
No, I never think that. Okay, Matt, you want to go?
Okay, well, I've never been dumped, and I've never dumped anybody either, so I'm not sure.
Why'd we get picked for this?
Why are there two of us on here?
But you've had, okay, no, we were talking, we were talking about this the other day about your failed relationship.
Here's my disclaimer. I would say all throughout high school and college, definitely in high school, I had like this extended, what I call flirtationship with a wonderful young lady. And then there was like this moment of heartfelt confession in the common area of our school. And she's like, hey, I really like you. And actually, this other girl, like, sat down next to her, and they had lined up my other best friend next to me, and they were both, like, in turn, hey, we like you, to each of us. And he ran away. And
really?
Yes. and so no names here. I don't want to embarrass him. But and I was like, oh, yeah, I really like you, too, but I don't want to date anybody in high school. Sorry. And apparently that unraveled this other, like, strand of drama that I had no knowledge of till like years later. But so I'm ignorant.
You're quite the heartbreaker.
And very bad at being forthright with my feelings, which also came up in college.
Okay. All right. I would say that if you don't count like just single dates that went bad, like where one of us thought something was going to come of it and the other person didn't, because I feel like those, I have often been the last person someone dated before they met the person they married. I don't
There's
know if that's good or bad.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Place.
I feel like I go
title,
out with
though.
People and then they like just have this clarity and then they find someone else and marry them. So I don't know what that's about. I would say numbers wise, I have probably dumped someone 3 times and been dumped maybe 4 myself. So anyway, not that I'm bitter, but it's okay. I want to find someone to dump so I can at least even the score.
Even the
have
score.
It 4
right.
and 4. So if you would like to apply to a short-term relationship that will end in sorrow, write to me at editor at Bounce.
Yeah. No, then you will get to be an inbox question.
So fabulous.
Submitted by
so fabulous.
Submitted by Lisa's ex.
Mm-hmm, totally. Okay, so we actually had Catherine talk us through, because we actually had a few Boundless folks speak into this topic as
yes,
well.
Yes, I loved what Carissa said, because she said she had a broken engagement, but she did not think that was a failed relationship. It was a successful relationship because they determined whether or not they were going to get married. And I was like, right. What a great perspective on any relationship that doesn't work out, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that actually does make us have to do a little semantics here. So when we say failed relationship, we're just saying the relationship didn't work out. We're not saying you're
right.
a failure because it didn't.
So even though I've never been dumped, I've had relationships that I wish would have worked out that didn't, you know? So
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, so let's actually talk about that because, you know, we don't have hours here, whatever. So let's start getting into some of the things that we feel like maybe, I mean, I think we all acknowledge that, especially if we're in a relationship that we want to go somewhere and it doesn't go somewhere, whether whatever side of the equation we were on as far as ending it, you know, we feel like, oh, you know, this is just the last person ever I'm going to date, and it's the only person I ever would have been compatible with, or, you know, however that may play out. What are some takeaways that you've had from some relationships where you've realized that was actually something that I did not know about myself, I did not know about dating, I did not know about relationships? Any, like, kind of groundbreaking things that you've learned in the process?
Yeah, I have. I realized that, so the author Grace Thornton, she's been on the show a long time ago, talked about how when she gets in relationships, she tends to tuck God into her pocket and say, okay, I got this. And I definitely do that. And I do that with my dreams. So I have certain things that I'm very passionate about. And they're kind of like things I don't know why I'm so passionate, but I just know someday I want to do something and affect that area. For me, it's people with special needs. So actually kind of recently I ended a relationship and it was a real bummer. I mean, I just really had liked it and it was going well. And I was scrolling through Facebook and my mom had posted pictures. She's a special needs teacher and she posted pictures from this dance that they had. And, part of the dance is the kids with special needs get into a limo and, get out, and there's a red carpet and they walk on it and everyone cheers for them. And I just looked at that picture of this, the astonished look on that kid's face. And I like started crying and I was like, I don't know why I forgot this dream when I was in that relationship, but I did. And I was like, God, like I was sitting there in my work cube, like at the end of the day, like probably dehydrated, I don't know, crying. And I was like, God, if I have to stay single to fulfill this dream, because I keep forgetting about it when I get in relationships, keep me single, because that's, I know that you've called me to do that. And so I was like, wow. I mean, I don't know, like the next time I get into a relationship, I don't want to forget those dreams.
Yeah.
So
I think that's a good point, because I think that losing yourself in a relationship is so common. I mean, we see it. We talk about it here on the show, where people all of a sudden they just disappear. They lock eyes with this person and everyone else in the world ceases to exist. And they're not even like listening to counsel or anything. And I know myself, and I'm a pretty strong personality, so this is like saying something. I remember being in a relationship where it was like my whole goal was just to win or to succeed. And I forgot the fact that actually this is an exploratory process where you're both figuring out something about the other person. And I was so determined to make this thing work that I was just constantly patching up broken pieces that probably had no business being together. And I was constantly like, you know, trying to fix situations and placate and be like, you know, I just thought we had communication problems. We had probably bigger, we did have bigger problems than that. And so that whole idea of like, it's not my job to like force this thing, you know, do the square peg in a round hole thing. I mean, this is like, you need to find out what God has for you in that. So that's a good point.
I learned pretty early, you know, we've joked about before how I came of age in the MySpace era. And so literally I was hitting adolescence and all of a sudden there's this thing called MySpace. And so we're using that and supplementing it with things like AOL Instant Messenger, which obviously had been around before MySpace. But those things quickly helped me learn that even in the, I think at the time we thought maybe friendly confines of the relatively anonymous internet, that our words matter and our words have power and our words impact people emotionally, because I started talking with this one girl, and it was actually on a MySpace hack site called My Yearbook. And we started talking, and I wasn't really thinking. I was being kind of careless with my words and talking too relationally, even though we weren't in a relationship, even though she was all the way across the United States and I didn't really know her. And I didn't realize the effect that it was having on her emotionally until all of a sudden a care package shows up at my house, because she spent something like $100 to put together this insane care package to send to me. And then I get an instant message request from her older brother's girlfriend to say, hey, I don't know if you realize this, but she is like madly in love with you. She thinks you're madly in love with her. She's talking about flying you out here. And I was just sitting here thinking I was talking to a friend and not realizing that my carelessness in that was leading her on, thinking that I was looking for a relationship. And so I learned that pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I think one of the other things that's important, you know, I often talk about my train wreck relationships on this show, but I actually have like had a couple good ones, you guys, believe it or not.
A good train wreck relationship?
Yeah. No, like actually good relationship.
Define your terms. Okay.
So I remember, and this was like a learning point from a guy I dated who was a great guy, and it ended up not working out. And that is that sometimes just a relationship isn't a good fit. It's not whether it's your goals or your calling or whether it's just mutual interests or attraction or whatever. And that is okay. It doesn't mean like learning that if it doesn't work out, it doesn't mean that you're not dateable. It doesn't mean that they're not dateable. It doesn't mean that, you know, you guys are broken or messed up or whatever. It just can mean that this one isn't meant to work out. And that's why I always tell people, you know, if you're going to get married, you only need one, folks. This isn't about like being desperately like everyone in the world wanting to date you. That's not, you know, that would be kind of crazy making. So I think sometimes you can just say this was a good relationship and it still didn't work out.
Yeah, that's actually what Bethany did, one of our listeners. She talked about how she kind of evaluated like everything about herself after it failed, which I think you do that because you want to like know why, you know, it failed. But yeah, that's a hard perspective to get. Something that helped me lately was learning where my hope is, actually, which I talked about dreams and I'm talking about hope, so it's very cheesy. But there's this guy, an older man in my life, who has had two failed marriages, and they're really sad stories. But he has thrown himself into what he does for a living. And watching him, and it was something I noticed after my relationship failed, and watching him just take a hold of life and serve people and not let those get him down has been pretty inspiring. And now he does a lot of cool things, some high profile things. And it just makes me go like, that's why we need Jesus. Like, this is why, because our hope is not in other people. And if it never works out, if you have two failed marriages, you're still going to be okay. And God's still going to use you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I had a weird like education with this sort of world growing up, because what I saw was my friends dating people, mainly like my guy friends, and then seeing their failed relationships and seeing where things all went wrong, mm-hmm. or seeing like, oh, like this wasn't good from the beginning. Mm-hmm. This was actually a genuine crazy person you were mm-hmm. dating or something like that. Or it's like, you know, they lived 4 hours away and you're in high school. Like, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, very different scenario later on in life. But and then so I started dating somebody a while ago now, and I realized I had this huge blind spot where I didn't have a ton of pictures of healthy, good dating relationships, which really threw me off. So all I had were these like thoughts in the back of my head, this kind of laundry list of things that I didn't want to do or didn't want to see happen. Mm-hmm. So all I had was kind of the negative, like the negative review afterward of my friends' relationships to look at. I didn't have like this good model to look at. All of a sudden I realized, and I felt like I was just stranded all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad we're doing this episode. Yeah. I feel like it's going to help me a little bit.
Okay, so I actually have a question for you guys. Yeah. And you could speak from your own experience or just as you've observed your guy friends too. I feel like, and Catherine, maybe you can back me up on this. I feel like as I hear from other women, it's like we go through breakups and we err on the side of way overanalyzing, dramatizing, tear fest. You know, you always talk about women like, I just ate like 5 gallons of ice cream and watched, you know, binge watched like 3 TV series or whatever. And it always seems like there's this processing and you get together with your girlfriends and whatever. And the guys that I've broken up with, they seem to just move on. And in 3 days, they're just doing something else or they're dating someone else or whatever.
I got to be honest. I've had the opposite in my life. I don't know. I'm a realist. And so when things are over, I kind of like, not saying you're not. I'm just saying I kind of accept it and move on. But I have had, guys that I've had in relationships with, like, crying on the floor. Like, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, I don't know. I
made the right decision.
No, it hurts. And I guess it helps me see the perspective of guys who break up with girls who have that reaction, because you feel awful. Even if you know the relationship's not right, like, it's really, I feel so guilty.
Wow.
No, I mean, I cry. Like, I cry when relationships end, but I've never, like, I don't know. I mean, maybe someday I'll realize I haven't processed all this and be like, whoa, you know, but. Yeah.
I don't know. What would you say is the experience of guys that you know? Or does it depend on the guy?
Yeah, I think it mostly depends on the individual involved. More so than gender. You know, what's their personality? Are they the type that needs to deeply feel? Because I have friends like that who need to just immediately. They're grieving, they're depressed, they're upset. And then I have others, and this has always been my personality, even though I haven't gone through an official breakup. My personality when I'm dealing with that kind of disappointment is to put it in a box and just try to set that aside mm-hmm. and move on to the next thing to say, hey, I got to stay functional mm-hmm. and I got to do my own thing. So I'm just not going to think about it. I'm going to be in the moment. I'm going to keep myself in the moment as much as possible until I've forgotten this thing or I've got enough other things to worry about that this won't pop back up. And I think that tends to be a personality thing more than a gender thing in my experience.
I would like to speak to you real quick, though, that there are good ways to break up with people. I'm sure you can talk about this too, Lisa. But I would advise not crying, because when I cry when I break up with people, it's probably very confusing for them. Like, why are you sad? You're initiating this.
You get that like opposite of the Chris Traeger, where you're so nice when you break up with somebody that they don't even realize you've broken up with them.
Third Parks and Rec reference for the day.
And then I've made the mistake of leaving it open for the future sometimes, and then it gets like hold on forever. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like
done this really doing this thing.
I've just made a lot of bad decisions when it comes to breaking up with people.
Yeah, and I've definitely seen guys who are more affected by it than they often want to admit. So I wonder if that's kind of the putting it in a box thing, like you just mentioned, Jake. But usually it's like they're covering it with something, in my mind. It's like just diving into video games or more destructive behaviors or just like spiraling into kind of this depressive, like, I don't know how to deal with all these emotions because, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that guys have emotions.
And, what?
Yeah. No,
I'm just kidding.
New round table.
Well, clearly the ones Catherine
What's the deal
Bates
with dudes
has.
And their emotions?
Yeah. So, okay. So quickly then, just some thoughts on helping a friend walk through a breakup. What do you say? What don't you say? Do you say anything at all? I definitely err on the side of trying to fix them and come up with fabulous solutions of how they can just move on and whatever. And usually those backfire.
Yeah, I often find myself asking people to be honest with themselves mm-hmm. because they're doing something like that, like covering up the pain by bouncing to another girl mm-hmm. or bouncing to like video games or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. And it's hard to be that friend that's like, hey, I think you're bouncing to that guy only because you're sad about the other guy.
Yeah, people don't like to hear
no,
that.
No, and maybe sometimes it's not true even, but uh-huh. yeah, I've yeah, had to be that friend thing. Sometimes.
I think that's where the skill of listening is most important, but almost the hardest, because a lot of us naturally want to fix. My natural is to want to fix. But oftentimes if I'm patient enough to listen through the silence and through the awkwardness of them not wanting to talk about it, I have found more often than not that eventually they will want to break the silence, mm-hmm. my friends in this case, or family, or whoever it is, and they'll want to talk it through. And then when it's on their terms, the playing field of that conversation seems a little bit more fruitful for helping them process what they're going through.
Yeah. It seems to me I've always seen in both myself and others that, you know, you think that it's never going to be less painful. You think you're never going to get over it or whatever, but you ride it out. I mean, time truly does help. And that's good, as does just hanging in there and realizing that you don't, you know, maybe your good next season is not being in a relationship, and that's okay. And that is, you know, a great opportunity to reflect and look and be in a spot where you can be in one in the future.
It's something one of my friends taught me was she made an actual relationship resume. So she listed all the guys she's been in relationships with and then listed what she learned from those relationships. And I love that. And she's never really shown it to anyone. It's just for herself.
Oh, she doesn't present it to the next guy.
I think it's a real, and so I did that too. I wrote out everybody I've ever, you know, maybe been on dates with or had a relationship with, and then what did I learn from that? God, what did you teach me? And some of them I don't know yet, mm-hmm. and some of them was very clear.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, sounds really good.
Well, guys, this is great. I mean, good thoughts, and hopefully all of you can hop over to the blog and give your own comments, because we learn from one another. So what has worked for you, both as you've been the one in a relationship that maybe hasn't gone the distance, and then as you've helped others walk through that painful season? So awesome. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.